opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's morning lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com.
All right. Joining us right now here before 4th of July, Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk. And Mike, I always wonder before we get into all this stuff, so what do you do for 4th? You lay low or do you stay home or do you hit the road a little bit? What are you doing?
Well, I always lay low whenever I can. We usually have all the family over here. There'll be 15 or 20 people out on the patio, and we'll make some steaks or some burgers, some hot dogs. I don't know. I don't determine the menu. I just stand there and cook it all. And then we may fire off a few rockets and whatnot. We try to be careful about that. We've had some close calls in the past where those tubes that you shoot the mortars out of, they wear out. And we were reminiscing about this the other day, although it was more PTSD. We had an incident where the tubes blew out and the fireworks went off all around us one night instead of shooting up in the air. So we're very careful about that, very conscientious about it. Now that I'm one of the old guys, I don't have to mess with it anymore. I don't have to worry about blowing off a finger. In my business, losing a finger would be a very bad thing.
No, that would not be good. Hey, so I guess you know we've been kind of busy down here with some football stuff, and so you hear the trade, and as the trade went on, we found out more and more it wasn't just Jalen Ramsey for Minka Fitzpatrick. It was Jonnu Smith was in the deal. What'd you think overall of that deal?
Well, and I may have said this to you last week, Joe, and I don't use the word dysfunction lightly, but isn't it per se on its face dysfunctional that any team is making these kind of moves in late June? Isn't this stuff you should be doing in March? Shouldn't you be shaping your team in March and April? I mean, you need a tight end because you're going to trade Jonnu Smith. Why don't you draft one? What are you doing trading for a guy who didn't play at all last year and has a history of injury and missed time? This guy isn't going to solve anything. I mean, anything he does is going to be a bonus. And, hey, he may make it to the Pro Bowl for all I know. But it is a calculated risk, and it's something that you do not in late June. You do it in March, and at the latest, you do it in April at the draft. The whole situation is just weird. And I think I said to you on Friday, there's no other team going through these issues right now where they're trying to trade guys, keep players, this stage of the offseason. The hay is supposed to be in the barn, and you're getting ready for training camp, and the guys that are going to be on your team have been there for the offseason program, and they're part of it. You're bringing in new guys now. Mink is coming in cold for training camp. Darren Waller's coming in cold for training camp. It's just not how a normal football operation should be functioning. That's my opinion.
Yeah, no. I saw your stuff on it, and like Jonnu Smith was not going to play for $4 million. I'm guessing they knew that. It's a Drew Rosenhaus client.
Do it in March, Joe.
Do it earlier.
Yeah. Trade him in March.
Yeah.
Trade him in March.
So the Minka Fitzpatrick part of it, what do you think about getting him back and now the leader of the secondary because it's a real young group across the board?
Well, look, Minka, if I recall the events correctly, and I can't believe it's been 6 years ago.
Yeah,
time really
fast.
Does fly. Yep. But when they were in the tank for Joe Burrow mode early 2019, you know, the year that Stephen Ross joked about getting $100,000 for Brian Flores for each game that he lost. Early in the year, that tanking thing was working. They stunk. They were losing badly. And I vaguely recall Michael wasn't having any of it and demanded the trade that sent him to Pittsburgh. So circumstances are different now. He's back. And there was something weird with him and the Steelers last year. And it, you know, they do a great job of keeping that stuff under wraps. I won't be surprised if now that he's gone, we start hearing some more about whatever it was. But, you know, anytime there's a guy with the Steelers who you have just kind of this vague, like something's up and you don't really know what it is, that's Mike Tomlin keeping it all under wraps. And a lot of times, once that guy's gone, you start hearing a lot more. So I'll be curious if any reports come out regarding whatever drove the wedge between Minka and the Steelers, because that just kind of came out of nowhere. But I think people that pay attention to the Steelers aren't surprised, because there was just something vague and awkward and obviously permanent that happened between Fitzpatrick and the Steelers.
So everybody knew when Jonnu Smith was leaving, they were going to be looking, and they said it, they were going to be looking for a veteran tight end. So we were kind of going through the last few days, not even thinking there was a chance that Darren Waller was coming out of retirement and wanted to play down here with his background with Frank Smith and their connections back with Las Vegas with the Raiders. 33 years old in September, with everything he's been through on and off the field. What do you think?
I would count on nothing. Anything he does is extra. Anything he does is gravy, because this is a guy that hasn't played in a year. And we don't know how committed he really is to doing it. We don't know if this is something driven by money. Whatever it is, he fell out of love with football and walked away from it. Now, it's entirely possible after 1 year of not playing that he's rediscovered his passion and he's going to come back and he's going to be as good as he ever was. That's entirely possible. But, man, that is a hell of a risk. And I would have a pretty strong feeling that if the Dolphins were in, we need to find a tight end mode back in March or April, the guy replacing Jonnu Smith wouldn't have been Darren Waller.
Yes, 100%. Going back to your theme of getting it done earlier and having vision on what was going to happen, should have never been at the last second like this. 100% across the board, I agree with you. Hey, so the Steelers side of this thing. Went on Steelers radio last night, and they're kind of up and down and wanted to know about Jalen Ramsey. And we got a couple of tight ends, Jonnu Smith, and all the – they're all in, though, right now. Would you agree? They got to get the T.J. Watt deal done, but they're all in, right, to win right now.
Well, they're doing everything they can to try to win a playoff game. They have never gone this long since the first time they won a playoff game. Now, they went 40 years without ever winning a postseason game, but with the Immaculate Reception game in late 1972. Since then, they haven't had an 8-year gap between postseason wins, and that's where they are right now. And they're operating differently than they ever have. There's a level of desperation I've never seen before from this team, and I've been in and around Pittsburgh my entire life. The Ramsey thing, I think there's a connection to Aaron Rodgers. I had somebody tell me back when the Ramsey stuff first came up, watch the Steelers because he and Rodgers work out together and they're good friends. So I don't know if this falls into the same category as, you know, when Rodgers would round up Randall Cobb and Alan Lazard, but I think that Rodgers connection may have been a factor. But they need to figure out what they're doing with T.J. Watt, because T.J. Watt wants to get paid. And this thing doesn't work without T.J. Watt. Look at their record when T.J. Watt has been in Pittsburgh, their record when he's not able to play. They can't win without this guy. And if they would move on from him now, because my understanding is his camp is open for any possible outcome, even if he would be traded, this isn't a trade you do as training camp approaches. And then the rest of your players have to kind of digest on the fly that they're not going to have the heart and soul of the team. It's just odd that it's gotten to this point, but at some point the Steelers are going to have to dig deep and they're going to have to pay T.J. Watt. They're going to have a big problem. And everything they've done to make the team better, it's going to get eliminated by Watt if Watt's not there. And I think that gives Watt more leverage to get that $40 million a year or whatever it is he's looking for.
Yeah. I agree, man. You got a pass rusher that's that good. You want to get that deal done. All right. So I saw some of the list. I caught the head coaching hot list. Let's run through it. I saw Mike McDaniel at the top of the list. And is Chris Greer right there with him, in your opinion? Is if it doesn't work, is it both guys?
Yeah, I mean, we just did coaches, but I'm a firm believer coach and GM need to be joined at the hip. If both stay, if both go, whatever. You don't do one and keep the other. When you get that sliding scale of accountability where there's a chance that the coach goes instead of the GM or the GM goes instead of the head coach, that sets the stage for all sorts of ugliness, because what happens? The coach blames the GM blames the coach, because each guy thinks there's a way to stay. If both guys realize we're either both out of here or we're both going to thrive, that's the best way to run a team. So I think if one goes, both should go, but you never know what Stephen Ross is going to do.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
All right, so the other part of this, obviously, when you talk about Mike, you talk about Tua and how important it is he stays healthy to have a chance. You got to play 17 games to see what he can do. What's your take on Tua so far?
Well, franchise quarterbacks play every week. Franchise quarterbacks don't have a constant cloud hanging over them and this never-ending, he's disqualified from being regarded as a franchise quarterback. And the contract he got, his agents should, you know, have a bust in Canton for getting him that contract. They paid him way too much. They committed to him for 3 full years. But I really do think this year, this is it. Because if it falls apart and they clean house, you think a new coach is going to want Tua next year? I think first order of business is we got to move on from this guy. And, yeah, his money for 2026 is fully guaranteed. We've seen other teams bite the bullet and move on. We're moving on. We're turning the page. So, you know, when Tua is healthy and he's running that offense, it's a thing of beauty, especially all the underneath stuff that keeps defenses on their heels. It's great. But you got to be able to play.
Yes.
And you can't be throwing your body around in preseason games after a turnover. I remember that happened with a Bears game way back in his first season. Like, you've got to find a way to set aside this idea that there's some sort of pride to be taken in being reckless with your body, because it's going to hurt your team and it's only going to hurt your career. And I feel like we're getting closer and closer to that point. But he does have financial security through 2026. I think he may only, as a practical matter, have job security through 2025.
By the way, this speaking of quarterback thing, man, everybody's raving about Arch Manning, and I'm sure at some point he's going to be really good. I know it's coming from his uncle mostly and how good he's been at the Manning camps. But talking about this draft class and Arch Manning, you talk about a guy that's got pressure on him. I think he's only started 2 games in 2 years with Texas because Quinn Ewers has been there, who's now with the Dolphins. What do you think about? He got a lot of pressure. I know he's got a good team around him. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, if he's that good, why didn't he beat out Quinn Ewers? Everybody says Quinn Ewers isn't that good. Well, why the hell didn't Arch Manning beat him out then? Right now, maybe Quinn Ewers is better than he got credit for. But if Arch Manning is Peyton and Eli and Arch all rolled into one, he would have been playing by now. And you know, people think he's coming out in the draft next year. I would think that he's going to stay for 2 years and play for 2 years and get paid for 2 years and get himself ready to go and get himself in position to be, you know, the highest drafted player when he does come out. And then there's that other side of it. You know, Peyton thought about coming out in 97, and if he would have had a clear commitment from the Jets, he would have been the number one overall pick. He would have done it, but he didn't get the clear commitment, so he didn't. So there's a strategy that they're never going to wear on their sleeves unless they're trying to get away from a team like the Chargers. But there's no reason to think that Arch Manning won't be able to play in the NFL. The question is, how good is he going to be? And if he's not playing yet in Texas, if it took him this long to get to number one, is it? And hey, I hope it's great. Quarterbacks are great for our business. We want great quarterbacks in the NFL. But again, he didn't beat out Quinn Ewers. And for the folks out there that are like, Quinn Ewers wasn't very good. Again, well, then Arch Manning must not be very good because he didn't beat him out.
Mike, you know what's amazing? Since I've known you, we've talked about more than any other topic in general, not just Miami Dolphin quarterbacks, but quarterbacks in general, and how many teams have whiffed in the first round. It's incredible with all the money and research and system and getting your coaches involved, what kind of guy you need, and trying to get weapons around. Some teams don't do enough, that we have so many guys every year that are bust or never play. And forget number one first year. Some of them take a little bit longer, still don't play well. It's incredible. What do you think the biggest problem for the amount of money? And look, I can say something, and I'm wrong all the time. Mike, you can say you love somebody you saw, you know, when you go to a college game and he's going to be a big time and you're wrong. It doesn't matter because you're not a general manager of a football team or running a football team. But those guys, they're paid to know all this stuff, and yet it's still so hard to find a guy that can be a franchise quarterback.
Well, I think it's a couple of things. And anybody that goes from one level of football to the next, the first thing you realize is how much faster it is at the next level. And there's a chance that you're going to hit a level where it's just too fast. They move too quickly. They hit too hard. The windows are too small. I just physically can't do it. I could do it really well at the last level. We get up to this level, and I just can't do it. And the problem is you don't know if a guy can do it until he gets up to that level. And then I really do think that a lot of the busts aren't the fault of the player. They're the fault of the organization around him. They don't know how to develop him. They don't know how to coach him. They don't have help around him. They don't make good decisions. There isn't a good vibe in the building. And that's why I'm a big supporter of guys pushing back against the draft, of guys not wanting to go to certain teams. Like when Eli didn't want to go to the Chargers, he visited the Chargers. You know, we have this vague recollection it was Arch Manning's decision. Arch was just providing the cover for Eli. Eli went to visit the Chargers, and he got the sense that they weren't on the same page as to whether or not they wanted him. So if I'm going to walk into a building where, and it was either the coach wanted him and the GM didn't, or the GM wanted him and the coach didn't, but whatever it was, he's like, I want to be here.
Right.
If I don't have a sense of unanimity that they want me. You get organizations like that, you get coaches and GMs and talent like that, you can ruin a guy before he ever gets a chance. And you guys got one down there now who may end up playing a lot of quarterback this year in Zach Wilson. And you look at Geno Smith and you look at Sam Darnold, both guys who were drafted by the Jets and failed with the Jets. Is it them or is it the Jets? Is it Zach Wilson or is it the Jets? And Zach Wilson wasn't a reach. People are like, oh, the Jets were crazy to take him at number two. No, he was the consensus number two pick in 2021. It was Trevor Lawrence and it was Zach Wilson. And some people thought it should have been Zach Wilson and then Trevor Lawrence. So, you know, you guys may have somebody down there is the next failed Jets quarterback who becomes a pretty good quarterback somewhere else.
My good way to finish it, man. A little quarterback talk. I feel like you and I have been drinking beers for the last 20 years talking about quarterbacks, man. Have a great 4th of July, Mike.
The day when we did this, I would be drinking a
beer. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's changed a lot over the years, Mike. You've made this thing into a monster. Hey, thank you. Appreciate it.
See you, pal.
All right. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk. Hey, we're not done. Omar Kelly coming up next.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall! Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.